Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You are listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to episode 82 of the LA Rams UK podcast, Bye 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 Week. I'm your host, John, and joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how's it going, mate?
I'm great, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Have you enjoyed your week off of being subjected to, not horrific performances, but stressful performances by the Rams?
Yeah, it's been nice just to have that week off and just sort of enjoy the week rather than, you know, worried about what's upcoming.
Yeah, it's been not bad. So, did you watch any of the games in Week 7?
Yeah, I did watch a couple of games. I watched the Steelers Bucks game, and then I watched the 49ers Chiefs. I watched those two, but I didn't watch any of the later games because, you know, I want to. It's my week to be able to have a decent night's sleep on a Sunday.
yeah, definitely, man. What did you make of the, just on the topic about the Niners game? Because obviously the Niners are our week 8 appointments.
I think Kansas showed us how you can defeat them, basically. You know, and that's, I think we need to go to their sort of game pass plan of, you know, plenty of pass rush, get at them, blitz them, get Jimmy Garoppolo worried. You know, we saw it last year, the success if you do it. And I think it just shows that that is how you defeat them with Jimmy Garoppolo back there.
Yep, I didn't see many of the games, but I did. That was the one game that I did make sure. I had Red Zone on. I missed the early window, but I made sure I could add on for the second. Sorry, the late window, just so I could keep one eye on how they were getting on. And yeah, the Chiefs just seem to be all over them. And it just kind of shows you get to Jimmy G, put pressure on him. You know, he'll just crumble. You know, try to throw Hail Marys in the Red Zone. And that, so... What did you make? Well, I suppose we'll get around to it. So obviously we're here this week to talk about the bye week that's been and also preview week 8. So just starting off with the bye week, it kind of affects us but doesn't affect us because it affects our opponents. The main talking point coming out of the bye week is the Christian McCaffrey trade. Now, like I said, obviously it's a trade to the 49ers, but the Rams were... In the trade, what is your opinion on CMC going to the Bay Area? Are you gutted we missed out on him, or do you think actually we don't need him?
Honestly, I don't think we need him. Yeah, it would be lovely to have that Gucci sign, and you know, I think it's kind of what the team, you know, fans expect from the team every year. But I think for what he went for, it wasn't worth it for a guy who. You don't know whether, you know, he's going to even give you half a season at times over the last few years. You know, yeah, he's still that dynamic player, but, you know, he's that injury prone now and his contract's pretty for running back. My attitude has always been you don't pay running backs. They're easily replaced. And I think, you know, the only good thing is, you know, next, you know, this draft now, basically the 49ers have given up the load, you know, and fingers crossed it doesn't work and, you know, they get left with nothing. They seem to have gone for our mentality of, you know, throw everything at trying to win. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, when you've still got Jimmy G back there, it's not probably your best use of resources. I think, you know, there are areas that they could improve as well.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, a lot of people have said, oh, they're wanting to go all in. Bringing McCaffrey in isn't what I would say describe as going all in. Like you said, with Jimmy G as your quarterback, there's still plenty of Niners fans out there that don't want him as QB. There's even one Twitter account I keep seeing again retweeted where the person who runs the account is drawing a different picture of Jimmy G every day until he's traded away. So there's a lot of Niners fans that just don't even want him out there. But like you said about the trade, they have given up quite a bit. So 4 picks went in the end, they get rid of their second, third, and fourth round picks off the next draft. And then 2023 draft, they trade away their fifth round. Now, I did mention about us being involved. So when it eventually broke out what the actual package was, the Rams did offer second and third rounds for the next draft, plus fifth from the 2023. So on the face of it, that looks like we couldn't match them. And the reason we didn't match them is because our fourth round pick for next year went on Sonny Michel last year. So, Andy, straight up question, was that fourth round pick well spent? Because there is some people that didn't seem to be a bit butthurt that we couldn't match the 49ers.
At the end of the day, it got us a Super Bowl, so you know,
that's it.
Sony Michel did play a role in our Super Bowl win, so you know, yeah, it was worth it giving up that fourth round pick. And I just wonder if maybe, you know, maybe our little, you know, Les Snead with his backdoor trickery is like, right, well, I know the 49ers are in it, let's bump up their thing, you know. So if we just put a random thing in, if we get them, great, if we don't, well, so what, the 49ers have got to pay more for them. So I do, you know, I have seen one or two people wondering that. And I do think to myself that may be something that he would do is, okay, you know what, you're going to pay for him. We can't compete with you, but we're going to make you pay heavily for it. You know,
there is a lot of kind of comments being batted around. Perhaps the Rams weren't necessarily bothered about getting McCaffrey, and it was more about, well, we know they want them, so let's, you know, let's sabotage a bit here. Let's see, let's throw what we can at them, knowing that they can offer more draft capital to get them, and then bite the bullet. Because, like you said, I don't know exactly how many games he's actually played, but he's not played a full season basically in a few years now. I think it was two years ago he pretty much got injured like something like week two or week three, and that was him for the season. So it's a big risk for them. I mean, when we've seen him play against us for the Panthers, he did show signs of being a threat. However, we neutralised him, and then the Panthers had nothing. So I'm not particularly worried about him being on the 49ers, because regardless of the results we've had against him over the last couple of years, it has been a neutralising kind of game where essentially we're not getting many yards between us each. And it's going to come down to who can edit out the best. Which in past years, the last game of the season, last year we started off really well and then just kind of couldn't maintain the pace, took the foot off the gas, and that's how they won. But then again, we've seen the NFC Championship game and shown that we are capable of beating them. So in terms of trade, are you surprised to see nothing's materialised as of yet with the Rams?
I am a little bit surprised, to be honest. But like we've said before, we don't have that much draft capital now that we can flash around as much as, you know, we previously have been able to. And I do think that is possibly a factor. I do still think, looking at, you know, with McVay's press conferences earlier and everything else, I think something may be afoot if he can get it. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be the splash trades that we've previously seen. I think it's more a case of maybe filling gaps where we need it and then, you know, just trying to get through again. But, yeah, it was just a little bit. I think it's more everybody, you know, it's all the rumours, CMC, Brian Burns, Robert Quinn, you know, all these players' names are getting tackled around, you know, and you sort of like, you know, is this just press talk or are the team actually genuinely looking at these guys? You know, so I think it's just a case now. We're just going to have to wait and see. We've still got, what, 4 or 5 days before the trade deadline. So I wouldn't surprise me if something comes in, but I would not also be shocked if we didn't actually do anything this year.
Yep. It's just as you mentioned there, the trade deadline is on the 1st of November. We've actually had a few questions in about kind of trade topics. So I'll just, rather than wait today and just while we're on the topic of the bye week and talk trade, I'll just bring them in. So you mentioned Brian Burns. So Sammy Aid asked us, there's rumours we're interested in trading for Brian Burns. Do you think it should be a player position we should be targeting? And if not, who or what position would you want?
He'd be an interesting signing for us, to be honest, you know, for that pass rush capability. You know, I do like the player. I always have liked the player since he came out of college. But what are we going to have to, you know, the touted at the moment is potentially first round picks.
Yep.
You know, we can't get into that sort of thing. We just have to just wait and see, you know. But to be honest, I'd rather, if anything, we sort of target players for the O-line. I think that is where we do need, as we've said time and time again, drastic improvements, especially now we've, you know, we've lost Note Boom for the season. And yeah, we're getting Brian Allen back, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. You know, I think I said the other day on the Discord group, you know, if we could trade for somebody like Quinn Miners from, you know, the Broncos, I'd take him in a heartbeat. I'd give up a second round pick for him because I do think he is the sort of player who would instantly fit into our team and our scheme. And he has that nasty mentality that you want out of your O-lineman where, mm-hmm. you know, he will bully the defense, you know, the D-line out the way, you know. So he's the sort of player I'd rather we go for. And to be honest, maybe somebody, if again, like Andrew, I've mentioned him before, but Andre Dillard from the Eagles, you know, especially now we've lost Note Boom, he would be the perfect, for me, band-aid to come in for that for the year. And he'd basically be plug and play at the left tackle straight away. And I do think he would give us, personally, I think he could actually end up being a better player than Note Boom on that left tackle spot for us. So, you know, they're the sorts of players that I think, you know, we should be looking at myself first, is get that sorted out. And maybe that will help the, because our defense hasn't really been an issue, you know, throughout, you know, bar the odd missed tackles, we're holding teams well. It's the offense and it's getting Stafford going. And I think by investing in the line up front, in front of them, that is where we'll get the best productivity, because then it'll allow our offense to fire. And then I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. From my perspective, I think the O-line has got to be the priority. Was it Quinn Miners? He was in LA. Was he not? During the week, and a few of our players were, you know, kind of like sharing liking it. It was driving up a bit of speculation that always in town is in town to sign. It's one of those ones you got to kind of take stuff like that with a pinch of salt. I mean, Jalen Ramsey hasn't tweeted about recruiting anybody, so I don't think anything's happening there. But for me, like the kind of two areas that we do seem to, I'd say, need to trade in, is primarily, I think, the O-line says in secondary. I mean, our secondary aim would be to bring someone to boost the pass rush. But just as you mentioned there about left tackle, just kind of just diverting towards the Rams news. So you mentioned about Brian Allen. He's back in practice this week. He was never on IR. He was just out injured. We have moved Alaric Jackson, I believe, to left tackle full time now. And we waived Jeremiah Colon as well. But I think it's because he was pretty much taking up a roster spot that was filled by, I don't know if it was Van Jefferson when he went on IR. On the topic of Van Jefferson, he's back from IR this week. Troy Hill's back. And just earlier this evening, Kyren Williams has been designated return to practice. And Treven Howard is also due to return as well. So how do you feel about the guys that are coming back? We did say last week we were hoping to be sitting here a week on and having, you know, a good couple at least back. So how do you feel about the guys returning?
Yeah, I'm happy, you know. I think Van Jefferson will give us that little bit extra, you know, up front. The only thing that does worry me with him coming back is Benny Scholes has basically taken the wide receiver free place off him. So, you know, I'm worried that his touches and everything is going to go, or, you know, hopefully McVay can figure out a way of, you know, getting them all on the field at the same time, you know. So that's the only thing that would maybe worry me, is I don't want Benny Scholes' touches to go down because of how well he's done. But at the same time, as I said, I'm happy he's back because he is going to give us that something extra, I think. And he's a reliable set of hands that Stafford's used to playing. Troy Hill, you know, it's nice just to get that depth back in the secondary. I don't think he's the same player he was a few years ago for us, but he's still, you know, he has that experience to help the team out back there. And maybe, you know, he'll basically, I think, go straight back into the slot position, which is somewhere, I think, in the secondary we have been struggling, is that slot position. So he's nice. And to be honest, Alaric Jackson going to left tackle, that was his position in college anyway. So I don't see any massive issues for him. And he, like we said, you know, for the Panthers game, I think when he moved to left tackle, the line actually looked more stable with him out in that position rather than playing the guard position. So, you know, hopefully he can continue to play well, and we'll just, you know, we'll see how it goes. But Brian Allen being back, I think it's just simply for Stafford. He knows him. It's a comfortable thing for Stafford. And I think, you know, the bond between a centre and the quarterback, I think, is quite understated of just how big a thing that is between those two, you know. So hopefully, again, that will help Stafford moving forward, that he's got, you know, his reliable centre back for him.
Yep. So just one of the questions going from Lewis Perry was around the guys that have returned. Out of Jefferson, Hill, Williams, Allen, Shelton, which one of them do you think will have the biggest impact for the rest of the season?
That's a good question, actually. You never really know, do you?
I think for me, like you touched upon it, I think Allen is the one that I'm hoping will have the biggest impact, because, like you said, Stafford's got that kind of working relationship with him as centre that hopefully it gives a bit more stability on the line. So for me, I'm hoping that Allen is that biggest impact out of the guys that are returning.
Yeah, I think hopefully out of them all, to be honest, for me, I'm hoping would be Williams, just to give us that something back there again on the, you know, that change of pace that, you know, I think we do need in, you know, in our running back room. You know, I think he was quite hyped up coming into the, you know, into the season. Unfortunately, he got injured. So hopefully that hype wasn't just, you know, hype, and there is actually something there, and maybe he can get our running game going productively week in, week out. And combination of Henderson as more the power back and Hill and Williams as, you know, that speed element will actually help the team.
Yep. Just on you saying Williams there, another question we did get in from Daniel Flint was, do you think our leading rusher at the end of the season is already on the roster? Do you think Henderson's a leading rusher? Do you think Williams could potentially be when he comes in? What's your thoughts?
I think primarily because it is his rookie season for Williams, and it is, you know, quite a difficult, not in terms of rushing, but in terms of more of he's missed time where he'd be getting that practice in more for the, you know, the pass protection blocking on those sort of downs. I think Henderson will still stay as the number one rusher for us. But I think come the end of the season, it could be like a 1A, 1B situation where it will be dependent on, you know, do we need to grind out 2-3 yards, or do we need, you know, an 8-10 yard run as to who will be some other situational back. But, you know, I do like Williams. I was quite happy we got him in the draft, because, you know, he was one of those that was on my radar for the draft. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, he's had time, if nothing else, to stick his head in the playbook while he's been off injured, get himself, you know, used to the scheme and everything, and he can come in. He may have one or two little issues in his, you know, the first game or two, but he'll pick it up pretty quickly, and then that'll be it. He'll go.
Yeah, cool. Like, for me, like, I'm interested to see what Williams is capable of. I'm kind of excited, but not excited. I think it's one of the ones with what's happened with Akers. I'm kind of not wanting to really go all in with my kind of expectations on running backs. Like you said, running backs are always replaceable. There's always running backs in even the free agency market that you can bring in. I'm hoping Williams can get out there, get some good touches, and show us what he's capable of. But just going, obviously, Akers again is still... We're in week 8, and every single week Akers seems to be coming up. So from what we're seeing, Akers is being used as hopefully a kind of, not really a bargaining tool, but he's part, looks like he's coming part of a package for us to trade. We are still exploring opportunities. Sean McVay actually said tonight that Akers is not practicing. He will not suit up. But early in the week he said that if we can't find a trade, well, we're not against trying to work something out. Is what do you make of McVay saying stuff like that? On one hand, he's saying, no, he's gone because he's not going to stop, he's not going to practice. So as far as we're concerned, he's not on the roster. Whereas in the other respect, he's saying that, oh, we'll try and work something out if we can't move him on. What do you think McVay's stance on it? Do you think it's just a case he's not really sure and he's trying not to plan on him not being here, as opposed to being here?
I think it's just a case of McVay's playing his cards close to his chest like he does. You know, I think him not practicing and suiting up and everything else is, to be honest, expected, because the last thing the team would want is for him to get injured in practice or something, and then that's it. Like, even if someone wants him, they can't trade him because he's injured, you know. So I think that it's that element of it is you're just going to go and rest and relax, do whatever, so that there's no chance you get injured, and then we can't, you know, if somebody does call up, or, you know, yeah, we'll take, you know, Cam Akers and a fourth, you know, a fifth or a round pick for this player that, oh, hang on, Akers is injured, we can't give you him now, you know, and that splashes it. But I think as well, it is a case of, well, if we can't get rid of him, you know, McVay is looking to the future of, well, maybe we can't be in him. So, you know, if he's going to have to be here, we may as well use him, you know, if we can. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over this, you know, this, the rest of this week, as to what happens with him. But, you know, I think the relationship sounds like, from McVay's side anyway, that, you know, he is willing to salvage it. It's just a case of, I suppose, we'd have to hear off Cam Akers and see what his feelings are.
Yeah.
You know, and they have said they've touched out, even, you know, to Akers and his agent. They've been talking to them every day, you know, so it does sound like there is still communication. It's not just a case of, you've gone and we're never talking to you. It does sound like, you know, the communication's still there, which hopefully may mean that if he doesn't go, he will maybe get back into the squad somehow if we need him.
Yeah, we did have a question then from Dave Harris. It did ask, do you think things between his, between Rams and Akers can be salvaged if you don't think the trade partner? My kind of feeling on it is, I think we're in this situation because we do want to move Akers on. He's not, whatever, there's talk about, like, he stormed out of practice or whatnot. You know, it's still not been fully confirmed what's actually happened and broken down here, but we're at the point where we are looking to move him on. And there was maybe an opportunity to move him on with the Jets, you know, losing their running back, but they went straight to Jacksonville and took James Robinson. I'm concerned that if we are trying to move him on, we won't. So really then that does come back to, like, well, if we can't get rid of him, like you said, we are going to have to try and use him. So if at least we're talking to him and his agent, we are at least trying to keep them on side. Look, we'd like to try and move you on. You like to try and move on. If we can't, we need to come to some kind of agreement. But like I said, like, I'm kind of, it's really going to depend on who we are trying to move him on to, because from my understanding is we are, This is just the, you know, dirt sheets or whatever, I guess. The hope is that we are trying to include him in a package for a pass rusher. Now, come on to the pass rushing stuff in a second, because I believe you want to talk about that. I don't think people are going to take him. So it's again going to come down to the draft capital. Akers is going to be just, like, you know, an add-on, a bonus to picks. For someone, do you think, say, Akers is going to go? Do you think it is likely that he is going to be, you know, an afterthought and an add-on to essentially draft capital?
Yeah, I think he is just going to be, I think they're going to view Akers as, you know, a fourth, fifth round pick sort of player. You know, he would be the replacement for that fourth, fifth round pick that maybe he'd give to a team. But, you know, again, you know, like we've saw this week, it only takes an injury for a running back, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe by Monday, he's moving on to a team, you know. So I wouldn't write anything out, you know. We still have, after the weekend, you know, an injury to a running back, and that's it. You know, a team all of a sudden who wasn't interested in him, or, you know, maybe, yeah, we'll take it, we'll give you them for a seventh round pick next year. All of a sudden, he might just sort of become a little bit more, you know, tradable. So I think that's, again, I think something the Rams are looking at is, you know, time is still on our side to be able to do this if we have to do it. But, you know, that we're not also in a situation, I think, for the team where it's a case of we need to get rid of him for the draft capital. It's, if we get a decent offer, we'll take it. If we don't, well, you know, we can work around it. It's not as if we've got to dump a massive contract because we need to get rid of it. He's only on his rookie contract still, so it's more than affordable for the team.
Yep, and just, like, on the running back topic, like, in terms of, you know, there's people out there, like, the kind of consensus online is it's either let's trade for a running back, let's trade for an O-line, I mean, let's trade for a pass rusher. But also tonight I've seen that we are apparently looking at Brandon Cooks from the Texans. Is that a move that you would welcome? Or do you think it's just we're just feeling putting the feelers out just to see?
I don't know whether it's feelers or whether it's just, you know, paper talk to fill columns, you know, and to get, you know, to get the clicks. You know, it's one of those clickbait things, you know. I think we have that with the team that we get linked to everybody. He'd be an interesting signing to get, you know, he's one of these players, again, he always seems to, no matter what his quarterback, what the situation, he's always just been one of those put up 1,000-yard seasons every year. You know, the thing for me is, because of, you know, we basically dumped him, would he want to come back?
Well, you know, would he,
you know, hang on, you dumped me a couple of years ago to the Texans for me to rot, and now you want me back, you know? So I don't think... I think if he had options, I don't think we'd be his first choice anymore. You know, and again, we're just getting players back. You know, we're getting the likes of Van Jefferson back. You know, really, we need to, you know, give the likes of Robinson, Van Jefferson a chance. We've got Benny Scow back there as well. You know, we don't need... It's again, it's one of those positions. It would be a luxury one rather than a need for the team, for me.
Yeah, the other thing is, just hypothetically speaking, say we do a trade for him. It's his third trade in 6 seasons, I believe, he's been in the league. So the guy has moved about a bit. And like you said, he was previously with us and we moved him on. Hypothetically speaking, if we do bring him in, I would pretty much say that buries any talk of OBJ being a Ram this year. The OBJ thing's still going around, obviously, in the background. He's still going around seeing other teams. And I can't remember who it was that put it out, but the tweets that I'd seen was detailed. This is the actual timeline for OBJ playing with anyone, no matter who, what team it is. He can't, so say if he signed now, he can't actually train until into November, the second or middle of November, second week or the middle of November. So you're talking it's December before he could play for anyone. So... That if for anyone in any doubt why OBJ hasn't signed with anyone, that's why. If he's going to sign with anyone, it's going to be as late as possible because he isn't going to see a snap until December. So, Cook's been mentioned. I don't think personally there's anything in it. It's probably just paper talk. You know, Rams get linked with most players, you know, these days. And until before Van Jefferson comes back. You know, the papers probably saying that, you know, the guys, the media guys online probably say, well, the Rams have a need at wide receiver. Good chance, maybe a week or two's time, that need's not there. You know, Van Jefferson gets back up to, you know, scratch. And because we'll also have Cup, we'll have Robinson, we'll have Skaronic, and we'll have Van Jefferson. So we'll have essentially our top four guys there. Plus we've got Brandon Powell there as well, who's seen, you know, a decent amount of snaps and touches and game time. So there's less need for a wide receiver there for the Rams. There's no point in the Rams going out and bringing other receivers in at that point. And at the start of the season, I felt totally differently, but as the season's gone on, and I think it's because I've seen that timeline, I don't see the point in wasting the time or money to bring Beckham in for just a couple of weeks, especially, well, it depends on how I guess the next kind of 4 weeks go for us, because that'll really then tell us what our season's going to be like. But it's one of those ones. It's always interesting to see who we're being linked with, I guess. I mean, Hunt's obviously on our radar. There's a couple of, we'd said earlier on, a couple of Broncos guys. Is it Bradley Chubb, I think, is one.
Yeah.
Another one we're being linked with as well. But I guess until Tuesday comes, we're not going to really know. And just the last thing in terms of trades, one he just mentioned was Sean McVay's, obviously, he's done his you know, his daily press conference. Jordan Rodriguez has tweeted an interesting one. Sean McVay says, Rams are a group that is always evaluating additions, subtractions ahead of deadline. He adds, it doesn't seem like anything's imminent, but you never know with us. And she then finishes the tweet up by saying, and I'd maybe advise going to look at the clip of his face as he said that part. So who knows? We never know what's going on in the background. We never know who we're looking at. We never know who we're working to bring in. But it's one of those ones. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. Let's wait and see maybe what, you know, Les Snead magic can wave this, you know, what his magic wand pulls out this year, you know. We'll just see. Maybe we'll get a Halloween present from him yet. You never know.
You never know. Hopefully we don't give up too many more picks in the process. So moving on, you wanted to talk about the pass rush. There's been a lot of chat about our pass rushing game, and I believe there was some stats put out this week.
Yeah, there was a tweet that went out that basically, you know, it was highlighting where each member of the, you know, the pass rush D-line was, you know, in terms of stacked with the NFL. You know, and obviously there was, you know, Aaron Donald's up there at, you know, number 7, which, you know, a lot of people are saying is low for him, but, you know, there are a lot of good pass rushes out there. And don't forget, he's still a defensive tackle. He's not actually an edge rusher. But then there was other stats of, you know, Greg Gaines, A'shaun Robinson. And I think this is where people get a little bit confused. Greg Gaines and A'shaun Robinson, they're not in the D-line as a pass rusher. They're there as run stuffers. That is their role. It's just basically stuff the run. Which, yep. You know, most, unless you are lucky, you're an Aaron Donald or, you know, Grady Jarrett or, you know, those sorts of players, you know, who are more of a pass rusher, you know, expertise from the inside. That isn't their job. That, yeah, it's nice for them to get the sacks in, and occasionally they will get one, but that is not their primary role. Their primary role is to just be big bodies in the middle, stuff that run, you know, and then you've got, you know, people were banging on about, you know, Justin Hollins. Again, he's not a pass rushing edge player. He's a run stuffing edge player. And, you know, you look at his career, even going all the way back to college, that has been his role in a team. He's always been that edge, but early down edge run stuffing player. And, you know, the guy's only got, it shows you how, you know, what his role is, that he's got 7 sacks in his whole career. It's not just, you know, it is literally his whole career. He's only ever managed 7 sacks. You know, that is where Terrell Lewis was supposed to be the guy for us, which is why you do see a lot of us first and maybe second downs. Hollins is out there on the edge, and then come third down, that's where we normally bring Terrell Lewis in. The one player I will say I am disappointed in, but expected it, was Leonard Floyd, because I was never happy when we signed him. He had one good year for us, got paid, and then seems to have gone back to how he was for the first 5 years of his career, a very much a case of lazy, lack of effort, doesn't seem to really care. So, you know, he is the one player, for what we are paying him, I really do expect a lot more out of him. But, you know, it just seems to, I don't know why, it just seems to really annoy me that, you know, the people are pulling up Greg Gaines and A'shaun Robinson when that isn't their job. That's they are not there, as I said, to pass rush. They are there to basically stuff the run and then to try and take on double blocks so that the likes of Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd can then get free to be the pass rush up front. So, you know, I just want to sort of clear that up for people, because I think, you know, in a typical 3-4 defense, you'll normally have 2 or 3 pass rushers and the rest of them will be your run stuffers. They'll basically stuff it, you know, at the front to stop any run game going.
Yeah, I think for me that I have been a wee bit of disappointment in terms of our kind of rushing in general on defense. When you mentioned that, like, great Gaines in particular, we featured Gaines as our website player feature a while back there, and like when I was kind of like digging into his college career, he was heavily praised for his ability to, you know, crush a run game. So it's for guys like him, I absolutely agree, it's unfair to be measuring him as a pass rusher when it's not what he does. His job is to essentially, you know, block the channels for a running back to get through and to get to a running back when he tries to get through. And that's what he does, and he does it well. When he does rush, he rushes very well, but it's not what he's there to do. And like you said, that, you know, everyone knows Aaron Donald's a defensive tackle. He's not an edge rusher. It's not what he's there to do, but that's what he does. It's just, it's the game he plays. It's, you know, it's what he gives. It's what one of the things that makes him one of the greatest that's ever played on the defensive line. So yeah. Like, it's one of those. I'm glad that he is, you know, still being ranked up there, because I suppose I say it regularly, and the response I usually get back, just, and it's what I get, it's more, remind yourself, John, Aaron Donald's been doubled and triple teamed. So if he's having a quiet game, it's because there's that many people on him. You know, so it's one of the ones that he is still out there, he is still grinding and whatnot.
Yeah, he's still in the top 10. That's what we exactly know. We expect that. You know, for exactly a guy that's, as you say, getting double and triple teams, and sometimes even, you know, I think half the time he's got, you know, the whole offensive line on him exactly in some games, you know, and he's still seven. You know, you can't argue with that.
That's it. And like I said, I'm happy that he's still being ranked in there and he's still consistently. He's obviously he's not where he wants to be. He obviously wants to always be at the top, I guess. But you know, it's we're not even halfway through the season, I guess, so it's still early days for him. And you know, he really, I suppose, the tail end of last season really started kind of coming into his own, as he always does. So I would say that the best is yet to come from him for this season.
Yeah, AD is always seems to be one of those, as I said previously, a slow starter. He sort of plods into the first four or five weeks, and then that's when he comes alive. He seems to treat the first few games as almost like his pre-season, and then that's it. He's ready, you know, and he seems to get fired up and go. But, you know, as I say, I think to criticise some of the... You know, like I say, Leonard Floyd deserves all the criticism he gets. I really am disappointed in that guy. But for the rest of them, you know, Terrell Lewis, you'd probably expect more. But, you know, he slipped in the draft for a reason, but, you know, for Hollins and Gaines and Robinson, they don't deserve the flack that they've been getting, because that isn't their job.
Yep, and like we were saying, that the people are looking to, we need to address the pass rush game. We need to bring in more, like, when you said about, like, yeah, it would be great to see, you know, guys come in. Say we don't bring a pass rusher in. What do you think the guys that are Donald assigned, right? Because we know he will do what he always does best as the season progresses. So he's not even in this conversation. For the likes of, you know, Floyd, Lewis, Hollins, Robinson, what do you think they need to do differently to, and it's not about rankings, it's about just to essentially up their game. What is it that's, is there anything specifically they're doing wrong in your eyes, is what I'm getting at?
To be honest, the only one is Leonard Floyd. A few times now I've seen him, it's like I said earlier, it seems like he just doesn't have an effort anymore. It's like, I'll make this move, it didn't work, or I'll just stand here and that's it. You know, I'm not doing anything else. You know, he doesn't seem to be that, whether it's just an age thing or something, or he's injury, or just mentally, he just doesn't seem to have that juice that he's had previously with us. He seems to have, you know, lost that step and that determination. You know, I want to see him, you know, Aaron Donald, take him to one side and say to him, you know, smack him around the head if needs be, and just say, look, you're getting paid good money for a reason. You need to be pulling your finger out and getting that, you know, putting that effort in. You know, don't just make one move and then, now that's it, it didn't work, so I'll just now stand here and, you know, keep fighting, you know, just dig in, fight, just keep going. You know, you will eventually get round them. And that's what, you know, he did when he first came to us and he got paid, is he seemed to be that different player, because he seemed to fight, you know, and even when his first move didn't work, he'd go to a second move, or he'd just continue to keep rushing and pushing and, you know, just power into the guy to try and drive him back. And we're not seeing that again. You know, I think we'd like to see Lewis step up and maybe do a little bit more, you know, as he's supposed to be that other edge pass rusher. But to expect it out of him now at this stage of his career, I just don't see it. You know, as I say, for Gaines and, you know, Robinson, I can't see much more they can do. Robinson's not the quickest player in the world. He's just a big guy who's basically to fill up the holes, you know. Maybe we would like to see Gaines just maybe refine his pass rush moves a little bit, because we have seen he can do it. It's just, you know, just maybe refine it a little bit more. But again, you know, he's in his contract year. He is what he is. He's a run stuffer primarily. And then, you know, if he's lucky, he might get, you know, a 3, 4, 5 sacks a year if, you know, if you're lucky. So I think it's just a case of, I'd like to actually see a bit more scheming as well to help. We seem to be a very vanilla, we'll rush for and that's it. Mate, you know, we don't seem to do many stunts and twists and blitzes, you know, so maybe start bringing in, okay, well, you know what, we're not getting it off the edge because, you know, so let's maybe use somebody like Bobby Wagner, you know, Ernest Jones. We saw last year when they did blitz Ernest Jones, he was pretty damn successful at what he was doing. So maybe start using him a little bit more as maybe that middle blitzer, you know. Okay, Gaines and Robinson, you just block up these guys. Aaron Donald's going to get double teamed. So then we're leaving it, you know, Jones up against, you know, maybe the running back, you know, and maybe use that to get through and maybe get that punch instead and, you know, be a little bit more creative in how we're doing it.
Yeah, just one of the guys you mentioned there was Bobby Wagner. I saw during the week he's actually ranked as one. He's ranked first amongst linebackers. Is that any surprise to you? Or do you think he's going under the radar, or do you think he's not performing as well as you'd hoped in your eyes? Because for me, he's not been amazing, but he's been solid, I would say. As is most of our defense, like on the line, that there's, I think, on the whole, the defense, for the fact that they're holding teams to, you know, minimal points, I put with the Bills aside, I don't think no one's in really kind of guess stand out as being, oh my god, they're having an amazing season in defense, but it seems to be that everybody's kind of solid. Do you think Wagner is having a good season? Because, like I said, it was a bit of a surprise seeing he's been ranked in PFF, but as first amongst middle linebackers.
Yeah, I think he's been solid for us, you know, which, you know, is all we ask for. You know, he's always, you know, by the end of, you know, every week, he's normally, you know, top one or two in, you know, tackles and tackles for loss for us. So, you know, he's come in and done his job. He's been a little bit, maybe for me, slightly suspect on his pass coverage, but, you know, he's lost that step. He's not, you know, he's the wrong side of 30, you know, he's naturally, but what he's doing instead is using his brain and getting, you know, blocking those lanes up and getting in the quarterback's face. But he's also given us that stability. And I think you can see it with when Ernest Jones comes alongside him, even in the games, he's coaching the guy up and sort of, you know, right, you need to be here, do this, do that. Like, look at this, you know. So I think, you know, we do have to factor in he's helping other players around him look better. I'm surprised he's number one. I honestly did think there would be players above him, but I'm happy that he's number one. And, you know, maybe there is still, you know, a little bit more to come from him, but actually I've been happy with him. He's not been one of those signings where we've sort of looked and gone, he's too old, we should never have signed him, which was my worry coming into him, was that, you know, there's a reason the Seahawks have let him go. You know, he's maybe, they've seen he's past it, but he hasn't up to now looked past it for us. So that to me is a good thing, you know, and hopefully, you know, he's just going to keep getting, you know, if this is the production we're going to get out of him week out, week in, week out, you know, we all remember Troy Vida, you know, it's a massive improvement on that guy. And that's, you know, and I think that is also helping our run stuff, and because we were leaky in the run game this year, we seem to have, bar one or two plays, we are basically stuffing runs and not giving them massive, you know, yards. And I think him coming in and just being that experience of, he knows where to go, he knows what his assignment is, he knows whether he's going to blitz the A gap, the B gap, you know, he knows what he's doing. So that is a massive help. And he is a good tackler as well. You know, that is one thing I will say about the guy. He very rarely misses his tackles.
Yeah, yep. He is an absolute solid hand for us. So just before we move on to obviously talk about our Week 8 matchup against the 49ers, with us being a bye week, we're in the position to now start kind of looking, not talking about playoffs, I'm talking about just the end of the regular season. So just looking at the rest of the schedule, so we've got the 49ers this week. They're currently 3-4. Tampa Bay in week 9, they're 3-4. Week 10, Arizona, they're currently 3-4. Week 11, the Saints, they're 2-5. We've got the Chiefs, they're 5-2. The Seahawks, who are 4-3. Raiders, who are 2-4. Green Bay, who are 3-4. Denver, who are 2-5. The Chargers, who are 4-3. And then the Seahawks again, who are 4-3. Looking at that schedule at the point we're at, does our schedule to you seem not as strong as it was projected to, projected as at the start of the season? And is there any, do you think, or do you think that's this going to change at any point? And it's just, I'm getting ahead of myself.
I think when you look at the teams on paper, they are still difficult games. You know, I think we all still expect Tampa, you know, we don't know what's going on with them this year, but, you know, I think that there is still something that, you know, that they are still a dangerous team in the NFC. You know, our divisional games, we know what they're like, you know, that they are very hit and miss. So, you know,
yeah.
The Saints, it's going to be a difficult game, and it's at their stadium as well. So, you know, the noise is a factor in that one as well. You know, I think defensively they've been good. It's offensively they've struggled, you know, and I think they've now made the announcement, I think earlier on today, that up for now, Winston's being benched and they've got to go with Andy Dalton permanently because, you know, he seems to give them that little... See, you can never write off the Saints. Chiefs is a game I'm really not looking forward to.
It's going to either be,
you know, it's either good, and especially Arrowhead as well, or whatever they call the stadium these days, that weird name. You know, that is another one. A bit like the Saints, it's a difficult game simply from the crowd noise. You know, that is a difficult game. But, I mean, the rest of them, Raiders, I think, is a very winnable game. Green Bay, unless they make some trades and bring some wide receivers in, I don't think that's anymore, at the moment, feels like a difficult game, even though it is at Lambeau.
Yeah.
Broncos.
I mean, it is in December still, so it is...
Yeah, you know, it's Lambeau in December, but
yeah,
you know, the Packers haven't looked like we would expect the Packers to do. You know, the Broncos, well, we don't know what's going on with them. That seems to have been a failed experiment at the moment.
But I'll come on to what I want to talk about the Broncos in a minute, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Seattle again, you know, in fairness, they've been the surprise team of the year for me because we expected them to be, you know, bottom, you know, pretty much, you know, heading for a number one pick. And, you know, Geno Smith seems to be playing like the MVP at the moment, so you can never write those two games off either. So, yeah. You know, I think you look at it on paper and, you know, you do see wins there now that maybe at the beginning of the season you were like, yeah, that's going to be a really difficult game. That's, you know, touch and go. There are now games where I think as a team you do feel more comfortable at the moment going into playing.
Looking at, like, I know it's Lambeau in December, but I do feel different about that Green Bay one because I don't think Green Bay are... They're definitely not the team they were last year, and that's not because of Adams has gone. Like, something else has just totally gone there, and I don't know if it's Rodgers or whatever. Tampa Bay is, as well, like, who knows what's really going on there, but I it's one of those ones, and it's going to bring on to the point I'm about to raise about the Broncos. You've got Tom Brady, you've got Rodgers, and you've got Russell Wilson. And for me, it seems to be a case of these three quarterbacks, there's something. Well, we know what's going on with Brady, right? We know what's going on with him, but Rodgers, there's something not quite right with him there. But like I said, I want to come on to Russell Wilson because I've got a question for you. Do you think Russell Wilson's having some kind of mental breakdown right now? Because on the flight to London, he apparently spent 4 hours of it working out. And there's that advert that he done, I don't know if it's somewhere or not, where he's like eating a sandwich and he's going on about, do you feel dangerous? I feel dangerous. And it's just creepy as hell.
And yeah.
Every time he's got to do an interview, he's going, you know, Brown's going to do this, right? Do you know, what's going on with the guy? Because it's like he's saying about Geno Smith. What's the problem in Seattle? Russell Wilson, because they've taken him out. An equation, fair enough, they've lost Wagner in defence, but they seem to have improved by getting him out there. And then, like, I mean, right now, like, on my first screen as we're doing this, I'm currently watching a meme where someone has photoshopped a video of Russell Wilson trying to fire people up on a plane in his Broncos uniform. And I'm just like, there's stuff like this going about all the time, and he's just, he's turning a bit of laughing stock, isn't he?
He is, yeah. You know, in fairness to the guy, his offensive line has been struggling to keep him, and I think he is a little bit afraid, you know, where he'd normally stand into pockets and would, you know, navigate the pockets, it seems to be he is running away a lot more. But, you know, this wasn't, I think, what the Broncos expected when they signed him. You know, they were expecting, you know, borderline MVP. So, you know, I don't know what's going on. I know he did have that shoulder surgery a couple of weeks ago, you know, but that didn't seem to be anything major. And to be honest, again, not being our, you know, they brought Brett Rippin in the other day. They seem to play better with him as their quarterback than they have ever done with Russell Wilson so far this season. So, yeah, you are beginning to wonder, is there something going on? Is maybe his heart not in it anymore? Or, you know, what's going on behind the scenes? You know, it just doesn't seem to be the Russell Wilson, but you seem to be one of them. You can guarantee, what's the bet? He comes up against us and he plays like MVP Russell Wilson, because he always seems to play well against us. It's one of them, isn't it?
No, it's not going to happen. I'll tell you why. Two words, Aaron Donald.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Donald absolutely loves to potentially traumatize Wilson. Wilson's got PTSD. That's why he got out of the NFC West, because he just couldn't take Aaron Donald hitting him, you know, rushing him, getting hits on him and sacking him multiple times a season. He just couldn't take it anymore. But then, obviously, the schedule got released and he's got to spend Christmas Day being chased and hounded by Aaron Donald. I mean, I could see why that would, you know, you would lose it mentally over that.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's what it is. Like, I don't want to oh, no, I've got to face him on Christmas Day. That's my Christmas ruined. Thank you very much, NFL.
So, moving on to finally getting to it, it's week 8, so we are up against the 49ers at SoFi Stadium. The kickoff is at 8:25, because the clocks go back this week, so don't forget to put your clocks back. And the game has been announced as being on Sky Sports this week. Every time I see it get announced for Sky Sports, I'm raging. Mostly because I enjoy watching it in Game Pass, because I don't have to listen to Neil Reynolds.
Yep, same here.
And plus, I get to enjoy the, you know, the American adverts and comment about them in Discord. You know, the Stafford Pizza one and all the other kind of weird ones that seem to just go about.
The problem is watching the American adverts, you end up watching all the food, and then by half time, you know, you've already had your dinner and you're like, I'm hungry again, I'm gonna have to eat again.
On the top of that, there's quite a lot of pizza adverts as well. And I think it was you and I were saying it in Discord the other week. We're like, I wish I had pizza now. This is totally make me crave pizza. Like, I'm sitting there just like crisp or whatever. Like, I'm like, I feel like I've let myself down by not having a pizza order for the game. So maybe this week, I guess. But anyways, how are you feeling going into this one, Andy?
It's the Niners, isn't it? It's one of them. It's regular season against the Niners. Nervous, uncomfortable. Not quite a panic mode yet, but you know, we'll see come the injury reports over the weekend who's in, who's out for each team, you know, and then we'll go from there. But you know, there is a lot of nerves, because we know traditionally they seem to have our number in the regular season games. But you know, hopefully the team has looked at what the Chiefs did against them and then gone, right, this is what we need to do. You know, maybe we can mimic their game plan and get after them a little bit and maybe nullify them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we beat them in the NFC Championship game, so we know what it takes to beat them. And one of the key points, I guess, in trying to beat them is get to Jimmy G, rush him, put him under pressure, make him hurry up, because he can't cope with pressure.
Yeah.
It'll be the usual ground and pounds. You know, there'll be nothing in terms of the running game. We'll be forced to go to the air. Jefferson coming back for this game could be even if he doesn't get necessarily targets, just having him out there to another option, you know, another route runner out there to give Stafford options and to hopefully draw players away from Robinson or Kupp or even Skowronek, I guess. He's came back at the right time for me. I have seen that McVay has confirmed that Kyren Williams, despite coming back from IR, he's going to be in the 21-day window, so we're not going to see him for the next few weeks. And obviously, as I said, Akers isn't going to be suiting up or practicing, so it's pretty much just Henderson and Brown, I guess, is our running game. So I think we could probably expect to see, you know, minimal games on the ground. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of them games again that it's just going to be dragged through it. You know, eventually we're going to have to air it out. But I think, again, we have to try and get that run game going just to try and get them, you know, to keep them honest and maybe try and get that pass rush off and maybe do what we did, you know, lots of screens and stuff out, you know, quick balls out to help nullify their pass rush. Because, again, you know, Nick Bowser always seems to have a field day with us, and I think, you know, yeah, we do need to get, you know, things going. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens, you know, throughout the week, I think, as to who's in, who's not. You know, they have got a very weak secondary. I think Jason Verrett, I think, has just come off their IR, but I don't even think he's guaranteed to start this week. So, you know, they could be very weak behind, you know, in their secondary, and maybe that might be somewhere where maybe we can target them. You know, if we're gonna have to go to the run, to the pass game, you know, because it's gonna be a typical we can't run. You know, getting those quick passes out, getting those, you know, balls out, and targeting these, you know, younger players and undrafted players that they've got back there, and let's see if maybe we can cut them apart, because that's basically again what Mahomes did. The other day, he basically was, as soon as they lost the last one, he was basically targeting that guy all game, you know, and that was where they had success. So I think it's going to have to be a plan for us. We're going to have to do the same.
Yep. I've not seen any of the injury reports this week posted. Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so it's the start of the week, I guess, in terms of reports coming out. But one thing I have seen is that Deebo Samuel could be doubtful or questionable for the game. I would personally be quite glad to not see him play because I can't stand the man, to be honest. Yep.
But didn't they say that for the last game and then he ended up playing?
Yeah, I believe they did, yeah. So, no luck, he'll be there. The last week game, McCaffrey was mostly used in kind of red zone kind of setups. He may expand a bit further on there. But like as I said earlier on this evening, that we proved that we know how to neutralise him, so I'm not worried about him. It'll be in terms of what kind of, like, you know, trick plays, I guess, they will throw at us, because let's not forget, you know, Deebo Samuel has thrown a touchdown against us. So
yeah,
it's one of those ones, it's watching out for those kind of trick plays, as opposed to Jimmy G, you know, performing like he does, you know, turning into Tom Brady
for 60 exactly, minutes. You know. Yeah, I think another key one that I think under the radar to watch out for as well is whether Kyle Juszczyk plays, because he is so much of their pass, you know, helps with their pass rush so much. If they can keep him, if he's not playing because of that broken finger, you know, that may be an advantage we can take of, because, you know, their O-line has got injuries themselves. They've not looked particularly decent. You know, I think they gave up, five sacks in the last game? Yeah, 5 sacks. You know, and the Kansas City Chiefs aren't renowned for a brilliant pass rush, and they gave up 5. So, you know, that there is a chance, especially if he doesn't play, that opens the game up for us on our pass rush to get after them a little bit more.
Yep. It's one of those ones, like, it's never... You can't. I never feel confident going into these games. It's great. It's just so fine that, but you know what the makeup of those in attendance is going to be like. You know, we saw it at the NFC Championship game, despite, you know, best efforts of people to try and get as many Rams fans there, and there was a lot. But you know, Niners fans are
travel.
Yes, they travel, especially when you know when it's obviously in the same state, and that's what's easier for them. One of the other questions that we got in tonight from Richard Francis was why can't I believe he asked this last season as well, because it rings a bell. Why can't we beat the Winos? That would be an interesting question for us to look into, because they obviously have a number. I believe, what is it? In the regular season, is it four seasons now, apart from the NFC Championship game, since we last beat them, and that was when we were in the Coliseum.
Yeah. I think I've said it before. I think, you know, McVay, Shanahan, they both run the same style of offense, you know, that they actually led off Shanahan's dad. So, you know, I do think sometimes it's just a fact of Kyle Shanahan, I think, knows what's on McVay's playbook, I think, sometimes better than McVay does. And traditionally, McVay hasn't adjusted himself to make changes. He's gone plan A, this is what's going to work, and it doesn't work. You know, I think the NFC Championship game, we did change it up a little bit, but, you know, it was more our defense stepped up in that game. And I think, again, this is going to be one of them games where I think it is going to have to be, the defense is going to have to step up, put on probably the game of the season for us to get, you know, anything out of this game. You know, I think it's just how it is against them. I don't know. As I say, I just think it is just, as I say, Shanahan has McVay's number and knows what McVay's going to run even before McVay does sometimes. So he manages it.
Yeah, would you say then that it's a case of, in Shanahan's eyes, McVay is just, he's too predictable in terms of how he's set up and what he's going to do. And like you said, it's more a case of Shanahan doesn't know what the defense is going to throw him. So that's really the kind of, his worry in terms of what's going to stop him from winning the game. So do you think that's a case? It's just a case of, like, I know how they're going to set up. Like you said, you know, he knows his playbook better than McVay probably does.
Yeah, he knows McVay's playbook. He knows the sort of stuff that McVay is going to run, you know, and he's basically right. He has himself, and obviously, you know, maybe when it comes to the rivalry, Shanahan maybe can fire his players up maybe a little bit better than which, you know, McVay does for those games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, McVay is a very cool cucumber, just, you know, typical almost California chill. Whereas, you know, I think Shanahan does come across as more of that, you know, fiery guy when he has to be. And, you know, maybe he just can fire his players up better than McVay does for these games. You can't knock on the psychological effect to the players as well. The fact that record hangs over them every time we play, it's the first thing that gets mentioned. You know, that psychological hangover must play a little bit on players' minds as well.
Yeah, and maybe this is where we had it last year, but like when you watch like America's game, like Von Miller was proper on at Aaron Donald. Like, people need to hear you speak and you need to hear your voice out there. Maybe it's one of those ones that if McVay can't necessarily fire them up, that's where games like this, we all know how Aaron Donald's opinions are on the 49ers. Yeah. So maybe it's a case of, well, this is where we need the guys on the ground there, you know, in the trenches, you know, like standing up and, you know, getting everyone to rally around for it. Because we saw that happening last season, and we've obviously seen what happened as a result. In terms of how you see this game going, Andy, are you predicted a win at the start of the season? Do you still feel like this is a game we can win any game, I guess, but is this a game, do you feel like we will win the game, or do you think it's hard, I guess, coming off a bye week. Do you think that we'll have, you know, kind of, I guess, jet lag from bye week?
No, I still think we'll win it. The fact that we're coming off the bye week, the fact that we are getting some more starting caliber players back, I think is going to help us. You know, personally myself, that we it will give us that boost. And I do think, I don't think it's going to be one of those games again. I think it's going to be, I feel, whoever's got the ball in their hands last in the final 2 minutes of the game is going to be the winner. And I'm just, you know, kind of hoping, you know, it'll be us. Stafford will go on one of his famous 2-minute drills that he's, you know, he's well, you know, he is famous for, and he'll get down the field, get us into field goal range, and we'll kick the winning field goal. And I think that it's going to be one of those games.
I would take that right now. See, if you like, yeah, if you offered me that right now, I would take that. I would, just on the topic of the fourth kind of quarter drive last year, Stafford was absolute clutch at game winning drives. I would really like that. Would be great game for him to be able to go back out and show that he's, you know, he's still capable of that. I would, I think it would do a lot the confidence for the offense, because we've not really seen that kind of, like, I guess, killer instinct to go out and drive down against the clock like that. So I would really like, I'd like to see that. I mean, well, preferably I'd like to not see that. I'd like to see us have the game put away a lot earlier than that, but such is the way these games tend to go. I'm expecting a kind of hard-fought, close game, and you said, I think it would do our conference a lot of good, you know, not only just to get the win, but to drive right at the end to get the win.
Yeah, the thing I'm looking at as well, coming off the bye week, is that if Stafford has been carrying nicks and injuries, he's had 2 weeks now to maybe rest those nicks and injuries up, which will maybe hopefully just help him a little bit, because I think that is, you know, I think those things have been lacking in his game, and I think that's where we have seen the issues. So hopefully having a couple of weeks just to rest up, relax, may even if it's just for this game, I'm not bothered. That's just, you know, it'll give him that thing, you know, and he'll have that capability to do what we all know he can do when he is healthy.
Yeah, I think it's good, like just said, that he's had those couple of weeks to rest, because let's be honest, he's going to be throwing it quite a lot, possibly, this week. Maybe not in the first quarter, because the way these games kind of tend to go is they do seem to start off on the ground, and I think it's a case of both teams kind of, you know, tussling for, you know, ground and yardage, just to kind of feel out, is there anything on the ground we can get out of this game, and we can kind of feel early in. But like I said, like I expect this to be kind of a pass heavy game, which is where the likes of Van Jefferson coming back in, you know, it's a good week for that happening, because it gives us more out there. And from what we've seen pre-bye week, you know, we had Skoronek and Powell get involved in more kind of, you know, on the ground as well. So whilst it's not your typical rushing game, it could be interesting to see, you know, the jet sweeps or whatever, you know, just as we saw in your Skoronek score against the Panthers. It would be interesting to see if we could, you know, throw some tricks that way at them, because let's be, as I said, they're good at doing it to us. So it'd be nice to give them a taste of their own medicine there.
Yeah, it'd be nice to give them a taste of their own medicine. You know, I think as well, you know, pre-buy as well, Robinson had a decent game himself as well. So hopefully, you know, going into, you know, he's had the bye week maybe to do a little bit more work, hopefully with Stafford and what have you. So, you know, maybe that they can get that bond even better. And, you know, I'm not bothered if Cooper Kupp doesn't see the ball. If we can get it through other people, then, you know, because we know they're going to double team and triple team Cooper Kupp out of the game. So maybe this is where these are the sorts of games now where last year it was, you know, we had OBJ to take that role. You know, okay, you're going to block him out. That's where now we need Robinson to step up, be the, you know, the big player for us, and basically be like, right, you know what, I'll take over this game, you know, and I'll get, you know, 80, 100 yards and maybe a touchdown or two to help the team get forward, you know. So I'm interested to see how he plays this week as well. As much as I'm happy Van Jefferson's back, I am interested to see what we're going to do with Robinson this week and if we can get him firing on all cylinders again.
Yep, it certainly will be interesting to see how Sunday unfolds for us. In terms of the kind of group predictions, so of our pool of 27 that we've got in our predictions competition, 21 of us are predicting the Rams win this week and only 6 think that we will lose. So the kind of consensus at the start of the season, hopefully it's the same, certainly as for Andy and I, by the sounds of it, that we are looking at our Rams win this week. So fingers crossed we'll be coming back next week to celebrate a win over our rivals.
Oh, yes.
So just before we sign off, Andy, is there anything else you'd like to bring up or discuss?
Just again, some of the results over the league, you know, that we've seen over the past week. This, I don't know about you, but this year for the NFL seems very strange with some of the results. You know, the results have been all over the place, and it's not, you know, if we were coming into the season going 3-3, you know, at the bye, we'd have probably been, you know, with what we expected, we'd be like, oh, our playoff chances are, you know, almost shot. But the way, especially the NFC is going this year, 9 wins could probably get you a playoff spot. And that, you know, I don't know about you, but it just feels very weird to me that how poorly the whole of the NFC, bar obviously the Eagles, you know, is playing.
Yeah, and like just looking at the NFC, I think there's only a couple of teams that are actually, let's see, so there are only, I'm just trying to sort this, sorry. So out of the 16 NFC teams, only five NFC teams have a winning record.
Yeah.
The rest are all losing records, obviously, ourselves included. So the Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys, Vikings and Seahawks are all the only teams with winning records. It's actually quite... And it's crazy that three of those five teams are the NFC East when, you know, like 2 seasons ago, they were the worst.
Yeah, it used to be the NFC least, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like a team like with a losing record got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a hell of a turnaround for them. And as you said earlier on, you know, the Eagles are looking to kind of build a super team to make a run at it this year. But yeah, it's the amount of teams, you know, quite, most of the teams are 3-4 looking at our conference. So the NFC does look a bit weaker, but you know, being 3-3, that could really go on our advantage because, you know, I'd posted up on the Twitter account, this is what the playoffs would look like if the season ended today and we get into the playoffs just.
Yeah.
We come in as the 7th seed. And I can't remember who it was, my place, but we'd have to unfortunately then go to Philadelphia in the divisional round. So fingers crossed, a lot changes between now and then. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it runs in for the next few years. So are you hopeful then we'll get, do you think we'll get double digits? I'll just ask that. Do you think we'll get double digit wins?
Yeah, I still think we will get double digit wins. I think in my predictions, I think I did have us going 3-3 into the bye anyway. So, you know. Yeah, and then I think I had us going on a decent run after the bye. You know, so I'm hoping that, you know, we will still get the double digit wins, you know, yep. And that we can just, you know, get into the playoffs, win our division, get there, and then, you know, as we all know, the playoffs, and your record doesn't really matter. It's a case of who can cope, you know, on the day and who, you know, the advantage, home, having the home advantage is, you know, a big factor for us as well.
Yeah, so, you did have us 3-3 at the bye week.
Yeah.
And you've got us going 11-6 over the season. So you've got us down as losing to the Bucks, Chiefs and Packers.
Yeah.
Post bye week, but better than me. I had this 14-3. So if I'm going to get to that record, we're going to go undefeated for the rest of the season.
But I'll live with that, John. If that's the case, I can live with
listen,
that.
I think all of us would take that. But oh, yeah. let's be real here. There'll no doubt be a slip up, or hopefully not too along the way. But
yeah,
who knows? There's the next week in particular, the next 7 days are going to be very interesting for us as Ram fans to watch. Not just because of the game, but it'll be interesting to see who is on our roster and is not on our roster this time next week. But you'll have to just tune in next week to hear what we've got to say on that. And I've no doubts it'll be an interesting one to listen to. So that about does it, folks, for episode 82 of the LA Rams UK podcast. Andy, always a pleasure to talk to you, mate. Thanks for joining me this evening.
Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you again, and hopefully we'll all be happy and smiley with a nice win over the Wanners next week.
We will. Well, positive mental attitude, we will. We're going to absolutely destroy them.
Yeah.
So, yep, that does it, folks. Thanks for listening tonight. Just to remind you, our podcasts are now being streamed live on YouTube, so check us out there. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Whenever we podcast, if you're on our Discord server, we're now giving you the heads up and a link to YouTube so you can listen to Andy and I and anyone else who's enjoying us. which if anyone out there would like to join the podcast, please reach out to us, because it'd been always great to get other people's opinions and other people to come in and join. So if anyone would like to come on the podcast at any point, drop us a line and we'll certainly get you on. But don't forget, like, subscribe, share, you know, all the lots, you know, tweet, whatever. And keep on listening, folks. It's always great to get to do this for you guys, and hope yous all enjoy what Andy and I get to talk about. So that about does it, folks. Thanks for all listening, and we'll catch you next week where we are, fingers crossed, talking about our 49ers loss.